I would say that one of the greatest cultural phenomenon that we have today is that we live in a very fast-paced society. We live in a world where there are many things crammed into the day, a lot of things going on. It's a quick and fast-paced world. And even with our conveniences and technology and things that we have to save time, we will often use that extra time to cram more things into the day. I want to use the song this morning as our lesson, Take Time to Be Holy. I want to offer us a challenge this morning, and that is to take more time in this busy world to be holy. I appreciate Seth leading those songs. I appreciate him leading all of the verses of that song because I heard a story recently that I thought was interesting. I don't know if it's true or not, but it certainly makes an illustration. There was a time-conscious song leader in the church. He was always watching his clock and always felt that the service was going too long and so forth. And one Sunday, the preacher asked him if he would lead some songs on holiness because he was going to bring a sermon about being holy. And so the time-conscious song leader got up and he led the typical songs that you would think about with regard to holiness. He led Holy, 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 and More Holiness Give Me, and several songs about being holy. Right before the sermon, he stood up and he looked at his watch again, and he was time conscious about that. And he said, I'd like for us to sing the song, Take Time to Be Holy. But let's just sing the first verse. In other words, let's take time to be holy as long as we make it quick, as long as we be quick about it. It's hard to escape being conditioned by the quick world around us and the brevity and the things like that. If we wonder if we're conditioned about brevity, the next time you're standing in front of the microwave and you put something in there and you hit the 30-second button, not the 1-minute button, the 30-second button, and you find yourself, have you ever taken it out before 30 seconds? Not because it was done, not because it was heated up, but because 30 seconds was too long. Have you ever done that? I've done that. I take it out about 20 seconds. I can't wait 30 seconds. We're conditioning ourselves. We're in a world, whether it's the commercials and people around us and the microwaves and everything else, we're slowly conditioning ourselves to that everything in life has to be that truncated, brief thing. And so the challenge for all of us this morning, and I include myself, is can we take some more time to be holy in this fast-paced world? The song that we just sang was written toward the end of the 1800s, around 1890. It's interesting. Let's transport ourselves back to 1890 for just a moment. How fast were things in 1890? Or how slow were things? We live in a very fast-paced world with our automobiles and our airplanes, and technology is getting quicker and quicker, our phones and our computers and so forth. How fast were things in 1890? I want you to think about that for just a minute. In 1890, if you had enough money to travel on a steam engine railway train, you would be going about 40 miles an hour. If you were a member of the Pony Express and you were riding that horse, you were riding about 7 to 10 miles an hour. If you had enough money to travel on a stagecoach, you were riding about 5 miles an hour, 5 to 10 miles an hour. If you had a horse and buggy, or if you had some oxen in a wagon like those who went out west with the Conestoga wagon and that type of thing, you were going about 2 to 4 miles an hour. And you were walking alongside your family there. If you were over here on the Cumberland going up and down the river on a riverboat, if you were going downstream, you were going 5 to 10 miles an hour. If you were going upstream, you were probably going around 2 to 5 miles an hour. Do you get the point? Everything's really slow back then compared to today. We fly down the road at 65 or 70 miles an hour and things like that. We get on an airplane and travel a few hundred miles an hour and that type of thing. In 1890, this individual that wrote this song is saying, "Take time to be holy." Wouldn't it be even more so today in our fast-paced world? So the challenge for us this morning is to consider the importance of taking time in our lives to be holy. And that's going to be a challenge because we've conditioned ourselves to be quick about everything. And look at the scripture reading this morning in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to look particularly at chapter 7 and verse 1, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. There's a statement there I'd like for us to consider as we begin. "Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit." Look at this. "Perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Perfecting holiness. That implies that there's more that we can do. There's more that can be completed about our holiness. There's a part of holiness that we can work on. And that's this morning's lesson. Can we work on that in our lives? Perfecting holiness. It's not complete there. It's not 100% complete when we become a Christian. Can we work on that more? Just like someone might perfect their craft. Someone might perfect a recipe. Someone might perfect what they're working on, a painting or something. As they might take something away, they might add something there. You're constantly working on it to bring it to a better completion. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I want to let the words of the song that we just sang help us to make individual points how that we can perfect and grow and challenge ourselves to be more holy in an unholy world. There's no question that we live in an unholy world. How can we take more time to be holy? You know, Jesus was mindful of time. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6, verses 30 and 32. He knew that he and his disciples can get wrapped up in a busy schedule of teaching, and that's what predicates this earlier in chapter 6, verse 7. They're going out preaching and teaching. We have the interlude there of the death of John the Baptist, and then we pick it up again in verse 30. "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him all things." That goes back to verses 7 through 12, the teaching and the miracles and the casting out demons and so forth. "Whatsoever they had done and whatsoever they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desert place apart." But if you look at the reading in verse 33, it picks back up again very quickly with the feeding of the 5,000. Their rest was very short-lived. But he tried to give them at least some little portion of rest. The people run around the lake and meet him on the other side, and there's the feeding of the 5,000. So maybe just the boat ride was was their period of rest, but he saw the value of come out apart. Underscore that in your Bible. I want to encourage ourselves in verse 31 to come ye yourselves apart. I'm aware that we have to work, and I'm aware that we go to school and that we have family obligations, but can we take more time to be holy? Can we come apart for a while to take time? And that's not just the church service, that's throughout the week. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, Jesus talks about where the word cannot work in a person's life because it's been choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Look at the first word, cares. Just the simple daily cares. He doesn't say that the word is choked out by adultery and murder and fornication. He just mentions simple things like cares. It chokes out the word and doesn't grow. Jesus was conscious of time. And he was conscious of how things can crowd out the benefit of God's word in our life. And of course, we're familiar with Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, when he was in the home of Mary and Martha, and Martha's busy fixing the meal and so forth. Mary chose to just simply take some time and sit at Jesus' feet, and Jesus said that Mary hath chosen the good part. And he says to Martha, why are you cumbered about by so much serving? Just busy here and there and not taking the time. Here's Jesus in her home. It would have been a great opportunity to take time to be holy. And yet she was concerned about making sure that the meal was ready. Jesus is conscious of time and brings that out in lessons. Paul is considerate and conscious of time, where he says that we need to buy up the time or buy up the opportunity. You know, there are people who buy up land. There are people who buy up gold and silver and stocks and bonds. And there are people who buy up a lot of things. But have we ever considered buying up time? Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Taking time to be holy is the wise thing. Redeeming the time or buying up the opportunity because the days are evil, and they certainly are. We could have an entire lesson on all of the evil around us. What helps us to stay insulated from that? Taking the time to be holy. Paul was very much conscious of that, and James was as well in James chapter 4. James in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, talks about those who say that we're going to go into town and buy and trade and get gain, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And James says, you don't know what will be on the morrow. Your life is like a vapor. We ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. We think we have all the time that we like, and then we pack it full with all kinds of material types of things, and at the end of the day, we have not spent any time with the Lord. And so he closes in verse 16, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. I've always wondered why that verse is in that particular section, and it's kind of interesting if you think about it. A person who is conscious about, I'm going to go into town and buy and trade and get gain, they're so busy with those types of things that they may fail on a daily basis to do those things that are good. And so James reminds them, you're cramming your life so full with the things of this life that you're failing to do what is good. And to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. I want us to be considerate and conscious of our time this morning, to take time to be holy. And it does require effort, especially today in the fast-paced world that we live in. I believe we can do it. I believe you and I can do that. I believe you and I can be different from the world around us. We don't have to be like those who are so caught up in the things of this life that they don't take time for holiness. We can be different. And I think the words of this song this morning will help us to be that way. You look at this song written by this Mr. Longstaff. He had actually had it written for several years, but gave it to this George Stibbins in 1890. It was put to music and began to be sung. There was actually a fourth verse that we're going to see in just a moment. These are the three common verses that we sing, but we're going to look at a fourth one in a minute that goes along with one of our points. But let's let the words of this song that we just sang be our sermon this morning. You know, I'm mindful of the Apostle Paul with regard to singing in this same chapter of Ephesians chapter 5. He says, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always. And when Paul speaks in the parallel account in Colossians chapter 3, he says that singing is what helps us to teach and admonish one another. What can we be taught this morning from these very words? We're going to see this morning three things. We're going to see the need to take time. We're going to see how we take time. And then we're going to see the benefits of taking time. Let's look this morning at the need to do that. What is the need to take time? Well, look at the song that we just sang, "Take Time to Be Holy." Sometimes we just have to sit down and readjust and take or make time. Because we can be easily caught up in the fast-paced world around us and be swept along with that, that it's good for us to just talk about taking or making time. It takes time to perfect your craft. Remember 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, perfecting holiness. Do you know that some people, they might be cake decorators. They might sew. They might build things. It took them time to perfect their craft. They didn't learn all of that or do all of that on the first day on the job. It took time to develop. And so holiness takes time. And we can be doing that each and every day. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. There's another statement about holiness. Holiness, of course, we know just simply means to be separate from sin and the things of the world. In our attitude and in our conduct and in our speech, we're going to stay separate. We're going to be holy from those sinful things. Well, we can take time to perfect that, to work on that. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification, some versions say holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look at that. We will not see God. We will not be with Him in heaven unless we follow after peace and the holiness or the sanctification without which no man shall see God. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. We've got to work on some things if we want to see God. That's how important this is. In the 2 Corinthians passage, one of the newer versions says, instead of perfecting holiness, it says, bringing holiness to completion. We work on it. Look at the song that we just sang. We sang, "The world rushes on, take time to be holy. The world rushes on, the world rushes on." Stop and think about that a minute. It does. And this is in 1890 when you're riding along in a wagon going 5 miles an hour. But the world's rushing on. See, it's all relative, isn't it? It's even quicker today. But here I would suggest, brethren, let it go. Let it rush on. Don't be caught up in the torrent. Don't let it drag you along with them. The world rushes on. That's their business. Many of them don't want God. Hopefully one day they'll find Him. But let it go. We're going to take time to be holy in this hectic, fast-paced, consumer-oriented, convenience-quick world that we live in. Don't let the world catch you up in their torrent or their flood that's running in the wrong direction. We can say no to many things in our life. We can go down through and survey and take an assessment of our daily schedules and just get rid of those things that are causing us to run headlong into things that are unnecessary and step back and take some time to be more holy. We have the power to pick up that remote control and hit the off button. We have the power to pick up our phone and hit the off button for a little while. We have that power. And we don't have to let the world drag us into what they're doing, where they're rushing onward into the things that aren't necessary. We can take that time and should and must. It's not just an option. But to take the time to perfect our craft of holiness. Especially as James says that our life is like a vapor. We're here for the moment and then we're gone. And we might be gone sooner than what we think of as just a natural old age or natural death. People get cut down. Young people get cut down in life all the time. Middle age, so forth. We're never promised a tomorrow. So take that time while we can. The need to spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. That's what we just sang. That's what we just sang. Will we do it? Will we do what we sing? I remember as a child, Dad preaching on that from time to time. Meaning what you really sing. And I'll tell you what, after he would make those points, that really bugged me the rest of my life. Oh man, I've got to mean what I sing. I prefer just to sing stuff and not have to think about it later. That really pricked my conscience, and it still does to this day. When we sing things, do we really mean that? And then do we actually, after the service, go out and practice it? For example, sometime this week, would we actually spend much time in secret with Jesus alone? Or is it just words that we say? That type of teaching, I'll be honest with you, is uncomfortable. I get uncomfortable when I hear that. But sometimes we need that kind of uncomfortable teaching. So Paul talks about buying up the opportunity. And the author here may be thinking about prayer. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we have a high priest who will listen to us and we can go to his throne of grace and receive help in time of need. He may be talking about prayer here. Spend much time, not a little bit, much time in secret with Jesus alone. That's when we've turned things off. And that's when we've put the noise out of our life. Our culture today is about noise. There's always some noise somewhere. But with Jesus alone, in secret, where we can have some quiet, private time to work on our holiness, we'll see a change in our life. We'll be more holy. It actually works. Jesus said to his apostles in Mark 6, come with me apart for a while. There are other occasions in the Gospels that talk about how that Jesus would go into a mountain and pray, and he would pray there all night. Why in a mountain? To get away from the noise, to get away from the people, to get away from the schedule. And why all night? To have some personal time with his Father. If Jesus did that, surely we need to, right? We could spend a few minutes here or there throughout the day doing that if Jesus needed it. Certainly we do. And so the need to take time. Let's look now at the song that we just sang, and let's consider the way in which this can be done. First of all, the author says, "Speak oft with thy Lord." This is talking about prayer. Speak oft, often. Not just at a meal. Not just at a church service. But throughout the day when we can do that, there are times when we have to be focused on our work. I know that. There are times when we have to be focused on our schooling, or we have particular responsibilities that may not involve biblical things. And so we need to focus on that. As a Christian, we need to be a good employee and so forth. But even throughout the day, be it the lunch break or something else, we can speak oft with our Lord. Well, somebody might see us. Well, we're going to get to that point in just a minute. Great. We're setting an example for others. Somebody might hear us. Fine. That's why we're here on the earth, to be a light, be an example. So more prayer. And we read these passages, pray without ceasing and that type of thing. It's not just simply to get a check mark, and we're going to talk about Bible reading in just a minute, to get a check mark or to raise a hand when the class teacher says how many have read their Bible. It's not just simply, it's to make us more holy and thereby bringing us closer to God and thereby putting us in a position, Hebrews 12, where we can see God one day. Pray more. That's the way. Do we pray? Do we pray enough? Can anybody raise their hand here this morning and say, I pray way too much? It would typically be the other way, wouldn't it? We don't pray enough. Pray more. And then we sang in our songbook, abide in Him always. Turn with me to John chapter 17 and verse 21. In the scripture, abiding in is not a physical thing. We don't draw a physical circle on the floor and then jump in order to be with Jesus. It's a spiritual relationship that we have when we want to be unified with Jesus upon His words. We're reading and meditating and studying upon His words, and we abide in Him. John 17, 21, that they may all be one, even as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that Thou didst send me. How can we be in Jesus? Chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words continual abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. We abide in Jesus when His words abide in us. Look at the word abide. It means to dwell there. It's not an occasional stopping in or checking in. It's a regular habitation. So His words regularly inhabit us. And feed on His word. I am of the opinion that immediately, with regard to our daily Bible reading percentage, sometimes we hover around 50% or so, I am of the opinion that we can immediately change that this week to 100%. One of the easiest things to do, and there's nothing stopping us, is to read a little bit of God's Word every day. If you stop and think about it, there's no availability issue. There's Bibles everywhere. We've got them on our phones now. It's not an availability issue. Neither is it a time issue. In 24 hours, there's several times where there would be time to read. 100% is easily achieved. We could do it this week. If we will take time to be holy and realize that one of those ways is more prayer, and another way is feeding on His Word. Do you ever skip any meals? If I skip a meal, I get a bad headache. Any of you like that, low blood sugar? I get a bad headache. I really don't like skipping meals. Look at the phrase, feed on His Word. Just like we would not skip a meal, just like we enjoy eating. Hester gave us some vegetables the other day, and Sherry made fried okra. I love fried okra. I love to eat. We don't skip meals. We love to eat. What about feeding on God's Word? We're not going to skip a meal when it comes to feeding on God's Word. I think 100% would be easily achieved. If you think about how easy it is just simply to read a little bit of God's Word every day, let me encourage you to do that. To take time. Well, Chris, it takes time to pray and read God's Word. That's right, but that's the whole point, isn't it? Take time to be holy. The world is rushing on. They're doing their thing. We're going to stand back, pull back on the reins, slow things down, and work on our holiness. And it will make us a better person. You know, the way to holiness we sang about in this song, make friends of God's children. Be around Christians more. Be around Christians more. They will help us and encourage us, and they'll keep us faithful. There's nothing wrong with having friends out in the world, and there's some benefit to that, especially if you're thinking about how that we can influence them and so forth and bring them to services and so forth. But being around other Christians, make friends of God's children. They're going to build you up. They're going to encourage you. They're going to talk about spiritual things. They're going to help you through any problems that you might have. It's not just prayer and Bible study, but also spending more time with brethren. What will they do? Hebrews 3:13. Exhorting one another day by day. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but day by day, so long as it is called today. Let me ask you this. Do we have problems where we need help with our brethren? Do those problems fall on Sundays and Wednesday nights? You ever have a problem on a Monday? Ever have an issue on a Tuesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday? We don't just want to have our brethren there on Sundays and Wednesdays. But we've made friends of God's children, and so day by day there can be that help. I think that that's one good use of texting, for example. To text our brethren about Bible matters or some encouraging word or a phone call or something. But we need help on days other than Sunday and Wednesday. And when we will make friends of God's children, we can be more holy. Can I be your friend in that regard? Will you be my friend in that regard, where we help each other get to heaven? Spending more time with godly brethren makes us more holy. And here's another thing that will bring about that perfecting of holiness, where we will take a servant attitude and we will help those who are weak. When we'll take some time throughout the week to serve somebody else. There are brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5:14 and 15, there are those who are discouraged and those who need help in or out of the church. If we have a servant mentality and we'll take some time to serve someone along with taking time to be with our brethren or speak with our brethren, these will make us more holy. And we will find ourselves getting out of that HOV fast lane of life and slowing it down and being more right with God. That world is rushing on. They don't care anything about spiritual matters. We're going to get out of that and slow it down and take time to be holy. Yes, it involves the three services a week, but I hope that we're seeing that it also involves other things even throughout the day. Of course, it involves our church services. Of course, it involves being here Sunday and Wednesday. But what about other opportunities? Our VBS, gospel meetings, monthly singings, Bible lectureships. Just to step back and take some time to re-energize spiritually. Have you ever heard of any brethren taking their summer vacation to go to a Bible lectureship or a gospel meeting? Have you ever known of anybody to do that? Why would I ever want to do that? There are brethren that actually do that. I'm not suggesting that they're better than us. I'm not suggesting that you're less spiritual than they are. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just suggesting that some brethren, in their mind, that's one way that they can take time to be holy. Being around other Christians and serving others and being a blessing to other Christians around us, forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. And of course, forgiveness of sins is one of the blessings I'm sure that Paul would have in mind in Ephesians 1:3, where he says He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I'm sure forgiveness of sins is there. I'm sure answered prayer is there. But also us blessing our fellow brethren in being with them and helping them in some way. And then number three, we've seen the need to take time. We've seen the way to do that. Let's close this morning with the benefits. God always gives benefits and blessings to doing things in His service, and this is no different. We sang in the song, "Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul." We're going to look at that. We're going to look at also this idea of being Christ-like. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. We think of the peace and the calm, but before we look at that, let's look at this. When we take time to be holy and we're abiding in Jesus, look at this statement, "Like Him thou shalt be." Wow. When I take time to be holy in those ways that we talked about earlier, immediately I'm more like Jesus. Who doesn't want that? "Like Him thou shalt be." We'll be more like Jesus the more we're praying and reading our Bible and being with other brethren and serving. We're more like Jesus. What a great benefit and blessing. We're not just a Christian in name only. We're not just a pew warmer or bench warmer. We're actually like Jesus. And each day we become more and more conformed to the image of His Son, Romans 8:29. We're more like Jesus. And on top of that, the people around us will see us being like Jesus and they'll be drawn to Him. Because we sang in the song, "Thy friends in thy conduct His likeness shall see." They see Jesus in you and me. Do you remember Peter and John? How the Jewish leaders there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, the text says that they took notice that they had been with Jesus. When we're taking time to be holy, there's going to be a change in us. And people will see it. And we'll grow. And we'll be better servants in the church in the future, but we'll also bring others to Christ as well. When they see us living and acting this way, what a benefit to be like Christ and to bring others to Him as well. They take notice. And when we take time to be holy, we do have that peace. We're in a world today, it's chaotic mentally and emotionally. There are studies that are out there now that show that this fast-paced rat race life, studies are showing that people are mentally and physically burnt out. They are strung out. Their lives are messed up, and much of it is this rat race thing. When we take time to be holy, that quiet time for prayer, that quiet time for Bible study, it helps us to be calm in our soul and face the issues that we have to face each day. There's the blessings of peace and happiness where we can rejoice in the Lord. And if we have any anxieties or cares, we can cast that upon God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts. We can't do that when we're caught up in the fast-paced rat race of the world. We can't have that calm demeanor. How do we face an illness that we've been told about? How do we face a death that we've been told about? How do we face this crisis or that crisis? Or I've just found out that this is a problem with my child, or this is an issue with my spouse. How do we face that with calm resolve, because we've been taking time to be holy? There are benefits to that. And we can face those issues in life. And here's the other thing, and we see this so much today, where so many people are out of whack. They don't have a moral compass. They don't know what direction they're going. When we take time to be holy, each thought and each motive, every day we get up, will be beneath His control. We'll be under the control of Jesus. We won't just be out of whack, just going every which way without any kind of guidance. When I'm praying and studying my Bible and taking time to be holy, when I need that guidance, when it comes time for me to have a thought or a motive, it's always going to be controlled by what Jesus wants me to do. And when that temptation comes up, my thoughts and my motives will be under His control. And when this situation or that situation comes up, I'll be guided by Jesus. And our young people will be as well. All of us need that guidance. Today it's turn to yourself for guidance. Turn to worldly philosophies for guidance. But Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 said that he preached in order to bring our thoughts and our minds, every thought, not just some, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Well, I'll tell you, the person that wrote this song, he really knew his Bible. Every one of these is just straight out of biblical principles that we need today. And we are beneficiaries of those great songs that have been written before. Thus, led by His Spirit to fountains of love, we'll be more of a loving person, which is a fruit of the Spirit. More loving toward God and Christ, in obedience to their word. More loving toward fellow brethren. Love one another. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. We'll be more of a loving, caring, sacrificial person. And that's what we need today. Like that old song, what the world needs now is love. Well, I agree with that. If you're talking about biblical love, that would do this world a lot of good. And we'll be more of a loving person. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, you know what this will do? Taking time, starting today, to be more holy, do you know what it'll do? It will fit us, it will outfit us to be one day serving God around His throne for all eternity. Taking the time to pray more and study more and be around brethren more, isn't that what heaven is? And John talks about how that we will serve God around His throne, praising Him, chapter 22 and verse 3. It's fitting us right now for that service one day that we will have in heaven. Let me ask you this as I ask myself this. My current attitude and practice toward worship, do you think God would be fine with that in heaven? If He's fine with my current, ask yourself, my current attitude and practice of worship, how I approach the worship service, what I think about during the worship service, what I'm thinking about going to it, what I think about it after I've left it, all of that, would God be fine with having me around His throne? Or is there something that it would be good for me to change? Because right now, taking time to be holy is what is fitting us for that service above. Well, as we stand and sing this song of invitation, maybe you this morning need to begin taking your time to be holy by becoming baptized into Christ. Just take some time after the invitation song and let's baptize you into Christ. It won't take very long. Let's just take some time to be holy. And we'll put you under that water and you'll come up a new creature of Christ. Just take some time. Or as a child of God, if we need to come back and ask for the prayers of the saints, it doesn't take much just to walk forward. Let's just take some time to be holy. The world rushes on. Clarksville, zooming up and down the streets, they're doing their thing. We're just going to take time to be holy. And this week, the good brethren that are here, we're going to take time to be holy so that we can perfect that and work on that and one day be rewarded for that, not only in this life, but in heaven. If we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?